This church is a truly remarkable building. It is the architect is very famous as Pugin, and the glass is also extraordinary. Other fixtures and fittings, even including the chalices and the ciboriums, have been designed by famous church craftsmen. But it's got a couple of secrets in this church, which I have discovered. And it's quite odd, really. One was whilst I was saying the Stations of the Cross, and the other was only this morning, almost as if a divine intervention on what to say to you today on this extraordinary feast of Pentecost. First is, if you go to the Station of the Cross, which is at the back of the church, there where the window of Christ's baptism is, you will actually, I think it's 2, 4, 6, it's the 8th station, you'll find Jesus encounters the weeping women of Jerusalem. But as I looked at that carving when I was doing the meditating, there's extraordinary little bit of artistic license in it. The child who is hanging on to the mother that's crying, if you look closely, there's a rag doll dangling with the child's hand. And that wonderful human incident, not only the meeting of the women who were crying, but the fact that the small child had a doll somehow makes it all the more tangible. Our faith rooted in the reality of our human experience. First point. The second, I don't know whether you've noticed that when you look around the church, it's got various memorial tablets. One are to those who are buried here, another at the back of the church, again next to the station of Jesus meeting the women of Jerusalem, of a young curate who'd in his first year of ordination, who must have come here bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, waiting to serve the Lord, made the mistake of swimming in Cobo Bay and was drowned the first year of his ordination. Tablets there, read it sometime. Extraordinary. But the one that struck me today was as I went to open the door or look out and see if there were hundreds of people queuing up to come in, on the right, or as you would come in on the left by the door, there's a plaque on the wall, a large one, which simply says, "We thank God in this church for all the conversions that have taken place." We thank God in this church for all the conversions that have taken place. Have a look at it. You'll see it on the way out. It'll be on the right, just by the door. It's a large plaque. And that reminds me that in our human experience, that whether we've come here today, you know, Jade and Hugh and Pam and Sophie and so on, Mike and so on, all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, there are going to be times after this when the reality of our human experience will also take you down again. So although we are converted and we're coming to this wonderful ceremony of being admitted into full communion with the Catholic Church, it's not going to stop you being human. You're not going to go out of here thinking you're God's gift to the world. It's, the reality is that you have to live in the world. And that's not easy. Those of you who are in the sacrament of marriage will know that things are fine, perhaps on the day, until you encounter your first argument, maybe, or things start to get tough and difficult. Just because you've married doesn't mean life's going to be easy. Neither does it mean that just because we're a Christian, life is easy. You've only got to look at the stations to see Jesus' life to see that that's not the case. So what does that mean? It means, I think, that we have joy, an incandescent joy, in our hearts. The sacrament of baptism and the sacrament of confirmation change us ontologically. They change us deeper than the molecules in our body. They go right into the very substance of who we are. And although we can't necessarily see a change, we don't normally, unless we're, I suppose, smiling, which I hope we shall be, you won't necessarily see a, change physically, but there will be a change spiritually in you, which you can't quantify. And that'll always be there. That's why we can't repeat the process of initiation, of baptism or confirmation. Once it's done, that's been set. You've been given that gift. Now you've got to live it. And it's here that the rub takes place. And all I can do as your parish priest, and Father Nishan here is a priest in the parish and Deacon Mark, is to encourage you the best way we can to live that Christian life and that gospel message as set forth in the teachings of the church, which you've heard, so that it may also reach other people in your workplace and in your home. And that's going to be difficult, because even Jesus had difficulty preaching the gospel to his own people. And he had to leave, if you remember, his own town, his own family, in a sense, in inverted commas, and go somewhere else. They're usually the last person to take notice of you. But don't give up. Remember that Holy Spirit is in you. And that spark of the divine will not let you down. It will strengthen you, and it will glow brightly in those times of danger. It'll be with you as your advocate and as your strength to go on this pilgrim route, which doesn't end here. This is just the beginning. And you'll go on, and as we hope and pray, step joyfully, step by step, in the kingdom of heaven. So for those of you today who have taken this step, and it's meant a lot to you, and I've spoken to you, and I know how difficult that journey has been for quite a number of you, be assured that the Lord will always care for you. He thinks you're the best thing he's ever made. He stands by you by sending us this Holy Spirit to strengthen us all our days. And he always thinks you're the best thing he's ever made.